I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk Podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch Show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Narcissism. Everybody is using this word. Narcissism is at the core of every abusive relationship.
The only thing you've done without my help is get sick.
I've seen it. It's awful.
Gaslighting is like a main narcissistic trait.
You are so confused. Don't act crazy.
Dang!
It could be your parent, your adult child, your spouse. It could be a boss in a job you need to keep.
She cried herself to sleep.
You were hurting them.
Possible.
Not possible. Definite.
Our RTT family, you asked for it, and here it is. Backed by popular demand is one of our favorites. World's leading expert on narcissism and author of two books on the topic, Dr. Romney. You bring the fire every time, and
you
really hit it on the head. And we had so many people, and even in our personal lives, asking, how the hell do we survive the narcissist in our lives?
Right, because this could be your mother, your father,
your
sister, your adult child, your spouse.
Yeah.
It could be a boss in a job you need to keep.
Right.
It's a topic that is kind of trending, narcissism. And so I think it would be really cool if you could just remind us what the definition is.
You're right. Everybody is using this word right now. So let's start with the core of it and build out. People who are narcissistic are deeply insecure. Mm-hmm. And we don't see that part of it. Deeply insecure. Because they're so insecure and they don't want to be found out, they cover themselves in all of this grandiosity, entitlement, arrogance. But then there is this lack of empathy, which to me is the most lethal part of this. They don't care. These are folks who are very controlling. Sometimes they're downright paranoid. Mm-hmm. They think people are out to get them all the time.
I'm talking to quite a few people. Narcissists tend to be very charming.
Oh, yeah.
What they portray with family and friends versus what's happening behind closed doors is so drastically different.
They're building a perfect suit of armor because there's all this insecurity to be protected. So they work on their outsides so nobody will notice the insides.
Right.
Yeah.
And that charm, charisma, confidence are the front game for a person who's narcissistic. To the point where I meet someone charismatic, I'm terrified. I'm like, I gotta go.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm sorry.
They're too nice.
No, I gotta go.
how do we interact with narcissists in our lives when we can't necessarily walk away from them?
People are watching this saying, okay, obviously I know what I should do. I should walk. But we don't have that luxury of just walking away from everyone. And so then people feel like, what do I just need to keep things the way they are? No, you don't.
Okay.
This is really a game of number one and above all else, radical acceptance. Radical acceptance is understanding this is not going to change. Personality styles do not change, okay? Ooh. So the only thing you can do is work on your approach to this and your expectations. Those expectations need to be realistic.
Right. Even if it's just like, okay, I'm going through the same cycle, but now I'm protecting myself emotionally because I know what's actually going on.
Yeah, recognizing what you're dealing with.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So how does one do that?
There's a technique I use. I call it the deep technique.
Okay.
You know, so remember it. Deep stands for don't defend, don't engage, don't explain, and don't personalize this.
Woo!
Okay, so you think about how many times you go deeper in with someone. That's why I say deep. Like, no, I never said that. Or it didn't happen that way.
You almost need to detach.
Completely. In fact, there's a name for that disengagement. It's called gray rocking. Being as boring as a gray rock. You become almost inert, right? You're like completely uninteresting. You're like,
Okay, totally.
So they have nothing to feed off of.
So they have nothing to feed off. And now initially, and this is one thing I want to warn everyone watching this. Initially, when you go gray rock on a narcissist, they get really mad
because
they're
looking for a fight. Because that makes you look like, almost like you're being condescending.
But you can gray rock. That's not gray rocking. This isn't gray rock.
Because you're not feeding them with something we call narcissistic supply. Feeding their ego, whether it's with validation or with arguments.
Yeah.
Because for narcissistic people, winning is everything. So if you don't give them the argument, they're going to lose interest in you and move to the person they can have the argument with. It's also about no longer sharing of yourself with them. You don't tell them the good things that happen in your life. You don't tell them about the bad things that happen in your life. Because they're going to make fun of the good things. And they're going to criticize you even more for the bad things.
Yeah.
I don't want people to watch this saying, I'm going to try these techniques. And then maybe I'm going to get through to the narcissist.
No.
That's not going to happen.
So
you're doing this for you.
To protect yourself.
Yeah, this is to protect yourself.
So a narcissist is never...
They're not going to change because they don't think there's anything wrong with how they're behaving.
Yeah. And there's nothing that you can do to break that.
Only on your side of the street. Only on your side.
Even if they have like little tiny breakthroughs, there will be something that happens that will trigger them to go right back into the mechanism that they know.
And they're just unaware.
They're unaware. And that unawareness is what throws people off. People say, are they like rubbing their hands together in a back room saying, all right, I'm going ready. I'm going to go gaslight Jaden. They're not doing that. They're constantly protecting themselves.
Yeah.
Everything they do is self-protection.
So... we put together some scenarios with Dr. Romani, and first, the malignant narcissist.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous, right?
This is very psychologically dangerous, and at times can actually literally be physically dangerous. This is the form of narcissism that's actually closest to psychopathy. Someone who will lie, cheat, harm you to your face, and feel no remorse. Pay attention to this scenario. It's a pattern you sometimes see in relationships that last a really, really long time. These are people who have been married for 15 years, and they have 3 kids. This scene you're going to see here is a really good glimpse at what malignant narcissism can look like.
Hey, babe. What are you watching?
I don't know, something you just ruined by walking in front.
Oh. Sorry. Don't forget, I have that procedure on Monday.
Yeah.
Will you come with me?
Do you really need someone to go with you to that?
I'm pretty scared.
I don't know what to tell you. You already know I don't like hospitals. Isn't it enough I'm already paying for your health insurance?
Of course, I wish my husband was jumping at the chance to take care of me. But, you know, he doesn't really like hospitals.
Here we go with the guilt trip. It's you. I mean, the only thing you've done without my help is get sick. And honestly, not sure I can really do this anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. And pretend I didn't say anything. He does pay all the bills and the insurance. And I am sick a lot. I really shouldn't complain.
Wow.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't understand what the big fat ones are. You don't put those inside of you, do you? I mean, you do?
Yes.
This is a show about women.
Okay, so I just reapply my lip gloss after eating a delicious lunch. We are headed back now to European political systems class at Baruch College. Woo!
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. That's it. That's actually the name of the show. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world. It's like reality TV on the radio.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I tell you I have seen that one,
that just seems blatantly abusive.
It's awful. But it's awful.
It's awful, right? Narcissistic people view sick people as inconveniences.
Wow.
They're like, you just made my life harder. I don't want to go to the hospital. And now they have to feel bad for the sick person. Well, that's too much empathy for them.
That's too much empathy.
And I have heard that story so many times, I can't count it. Wow. It is utter devastation.
Yes.
And threatened things like leaving. And threatening leaving
but
is the ultimate power play.
Right.
I'm just confused as to how they can look at themselves and think that's okay.
Because they're not thinking. There's no self-reflective capacity, Willow. Right. They do not look inward. You know how you're constantly looking inward and saying, did I
almost
do the right thing?
Almost to a fault.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
With self-analyzation.
But that ability to look inwards and say, how am I affecting another person through my words, through my actions? That's empathy. We always talk about empathy of like, do I get your feelings? empathy is paying attention
yeah.
to how I talk, carry myself, and how it might impact someone else. And you got to remember, too, you look at a story like this, you're going, why'd she marry him? They don't act like this on the first date.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you, that's lightweight. Uh-huh. Yeah. What we just saw right there, yeah. that is lightweight.
Uh-huh. And you said you've seen this. What happened?
Unfortunately, I had to distance myself mm-hmm. from my girlfriend and her husband because mm-hmm. it was just too brutal mm-hmm. to watch. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so upsetting because, you know, I've seen it. It's awful.
Yeah.
And yes. it can be so insidious.
And I think narcissism is at the core of every domestically abusive relationship.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally mm-hmm. abusive relationships mm-hmm. and physically abusive relationships.
Yes.
I have to mm-hmm. agree with mm-hmm. you.
Yep. That makes yes. total yep. sense. I never even mm-hmm. thought about.
Because even that lack of empathy, like, to see someone being so physically hurt and to keep mm-hmm. kicking them
it.
While they're down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The domestic violence folks say, instead of asking why she's not leaving, let's question his behavior because that's the problem.
Right.
So what do you do in a scenario like this?
So remember, we've talked about this idea about going deep, right? Not defending, not engaging, not explaining, not personalizing.
Right.
The not personalizing is really important here because people say, well, this is personal.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's
her husband.
It's her husband.
There's a difference between something being personal. It's very personal. And not personalizing it. Mm. She's not responsible for his conduct. His behavior's bad.
I just can't imagine staying in a relationship like that for so long.
But there's so many people. Again,
so many people.
Have.
Yeah.
So show us how to handle this.
Yes.
Don't forget, I have that procedure on Monday.
Do you really need someone to go with you to that?
My sister will take me.
All right, cool.
Dang!
What?
That's it. So you're, I know
my
you're
sister
thinking,
will take me and I'll be sending your ass divorce papers.
I know.
And the bill.
And the bill.
But, so, but you see what happens. People are saying, what is she doing? So she's just rolling over. She's not rolling over. She is trying to survive. When people stay in these relationships, I often think of it in two ways. One is practical.
Yep.
Money. Children.
Children.
She's gonna have to share custody.
Yeah,
she doesn't want to do that.
You can't get rid of them.
She doesn't want to do that. Then there's the other piece where people in these relationships already blame themselves. I'm not working. He makes the money. Maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe I'm the one who's being difficult. That justifying is actually at the core of something we call the trauma bond. Mm. That when a person is in a relationship with a narcissist, it's this old pattern, usually from childhood, where they've learned to justify another person's bad behavior. And over time, justification equals love.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's the pattern.
You know what, Dr. Romani, you really hit on something there.
That's hard.
It's tough. Malignant narcissist relationships are tough.
So next is a very common but very misunderstood type of narcissist, which is a covert.
Mm-hmm. What you're about to see is a really typical sort of covert narcissistic interaction. This is a form of narcissism. And if I was to put it in a word, it's victimized. Mm. They're always the victim.
Yeah.
They're always blaming everyone else. They do not take responsibility. Their entitlement is more quiet. And in this scene, it's between two sisters-in-law.
So how's work going?
Oh, not good. So unfair. Mary got the promotion. I mean, of course she did. You know, my boss knows her dad, so everything always goes her way.
Hmm. I thought Mary was one who brought in that big account last year, and everyone thinks she's great.
So what? I made it on my own. I didn't have any connections. I work harder than everyone else. And I never get it my way. I just have a dumb boss. I mean, I'm so much smarter than her, but no one has given me a chance to prove that.
Sarah, I think you're great. It's just that it seems like maybe Mary deserves it.
You don't get it. You don't. And you never support me.
How can Sarah say I'm not supportive? That really hurt my feelings. I feel like I spend 90% of my time listening to her complain.
And honestly, you're starting to sound like everyone else. I don't even think I'm gonna go into work tomorrow. Then everyone can see how valuable I am.
Who else would be her friend? I don't want her to be all alone. I guess she's not that bad.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm.
That person who's in constant victim speak, no one ever gives me a chance. Nothing ever goes my way. You know, someday people are going to see how great I am, and boy, you'll all be sorry. It's always very negative. They're constant malcontents. They're never happy.
Right.
Now, I know some malcontents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a lot of malcontents are covert narcissists. Oh, this restaurant's too crowded. This restaurant's too empty. Ugh, this view is terrible. Nothing, nothing ever makes them happy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what are we supposed to do when we have that?
The number one thing you should do is really avoid the temptation to rescue them. Because a lot of people almost want to jump into shrink mode with them. No, you, like, you're really great. Or, oh, let me see if I can fix this. You don't like this restaurant. We could go find another. See what I'm saying? A lot of people fall into that rescue-y place.
That's totally me.
Yeah, that's what I was about to be like, that's me.
But
that's,
if it's a family member, you feel like you have a responsibility.
Like, even when I
help
was...
rescue them.
Right, but here's the thing, you never can.
Right, because
so you're
going
to keep trying.
It
never stops. You rescue them this one time, and then it happens again. Oh,
she's in a situation right now.
So this might break you of the cycle, because it's going to get you nowhere.
Right.
You see what cycle you've been in, and how it's been frustrating, how it's taken up so much of your time.
Right.
When that person is just
When I was watching that, in my mind, I'm going, just, you know, be compassionate, because you know she's going through something.
Right. But see what the sister-in-law was saying at the end. She's saying 90% of the time, it's me listening to her stuff. So it never ends. Mm-hmm. When you fix one mess, it's always the next mess, because they always feel life is unfair to them. Yeah. Only them. And mainly them.
Yeah. Almost, they enjoy being in that.
Oh, heck yeah. That victim mode.
Yeah.
That's how they get validation, Gammy. Because, like, you've been through
so much.
So that's validation. You're a fighter.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at a strategy for this.
So how's work going?
Oh, not good. So unfair. Mary got the promotion. I mean, of course she did. You know, my boss knows her dad, so everything always goes her way. Mm-hmm. I made it on my own. I didn't have any connections. I work harder than everyone else. I never get in my way. I just have a dumb boss. I'm so much smarter than her, but no one has ever given me the chance to prove it.
I hear you. By me disengaging, I feel so good that I don't have to fall down that rabbit hole of a spiral, because that was gonna cost me several hours.
So she didn't even respond.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's her sister-in-law. So maybe, you know, maybe she's tight with her brother or whatever. Yeah. I know people are saying, well, aren't you just enabling her? She's not her therapist.
Right.
That's not her job to fix her. I say, when you have someone like this, don't go on vacation with this person. They're going to be the most miserable week of your life.
Right. Yeah.
And I say, people, set a timer and say, you know what? I'm so sorry. Oh, I got to go.
Yeah. Can you change the subject? Like, if she was there, it was like, girl, you had those stretches. You've really gotten good at that.
You can try that. Again, these are all, you see how they're all short-term strategies, right? How many times are you going to change the subject?
Her sister-in-law is just going to keep in that negative spin.
Yes.
It seems like gaslighting is like a main narcissistic trait.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So let's talk about what that is,
So gaslighting, there's the other hot word of the time. Gaslighting is a form of manipulation where you really kind of get power over a person by doubting and invalidating their reality. You deny their reality. Mm-hmm. And when you deny someone's reality, 90% of people are like, maybe they're right. Maybe I didn't say that.
Right.
We doubt ourselves. When it happens repeatedly, you feel like you're literally going crazy.
Yeah.
Right. You no longer believe yourself. Mm-hmm. The only person who can really gaslight you is someone who either has some power or who you already trust a little already.
Yeah.
That's why family members gaslight. That's why partners gaslight.
Right.
So it's not just, gaslighting is not just lying. Gaslighting is lying and then twisting the knife further so you feel crazy.
Could it also be in a form of, like, you're in an argument and they're like, I never said that.
Mm-hmm. That's the classical form of gaslighting.
Yo,
do I need to be recording our conversations?
There it is. The first time someone says to me, I'm going to start recording my conversation, I'm like, you're being gaslighted. It's that simple. Or when you feel the need to show someone, like, there's the text.
Right.
You're being gaslighted.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you need proof. When you feel like you need to bring an evidence base for your feelings, you're being gaslighted.
Yeah.
Golly day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we also have an example of gaslighting.
Let's do it.
Babe, this chicken is good.
Right? Who was that?
Oh, one of the guys from our fantasy league.
Well, it looked like it said Melissa, and the message was two hearts.
Wow. You always go there.
Yeah, I do always go there, especially given our track record.
Okay, fine. It was Melissa, Greg's wife. planning a surprise golf trip for him. Can we just get through one meal without you accusing me of something? You're way too sensitive. If I was getting heart texts from another woman, you think I would have my phone on the table for you to see it?
Well, show me your phone then.
You are so confused. Don't act crazy. Look, I'm leaving out of town soon. I just wanted to have a good night, us chilling, no drama. You don't want me going out of town not feeling you, right?
Ooh. I'm afraid that Brian is gonna cheat on me again, and I just need to get a hold of myself with all the wild accusations. You know, baby, I'm sorry. You're right, okay?
Ooh. You see what I'm saying? She's almost like trying to win him back over right. again. He keeps the power.
Wow.
So a big way we get people gaslight each other is they say things like, that never happened. You always do that.
Yeah.
There's no nevers and alwayses right. in relationships, right?
Right?
That's a gaslight. I tell people, I need you to write down all this icky stuff that's happening in the relationship every time that they've doubted your reality
yeah.
so you can see it's a pattern. There's no possibility of a long-term healthy relationship with somebody who's a chronic gaslighter.
Yeah,
it's just not possible.
All right, so as we were putting together this table, Alex, a 36-year-old, reached out and said he was worried he was a narcissist. So Dr. Romani sat down with him for a one-on-one session. This is very rare for this to happen, a narcissist asking for help.
Yeah, because they don't typically Mm-mm. recognize
yeah,
it.
No, they don't. No. But you know when they do start recognizing it, Gammy? When everything starts falling apart in their life.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I don't understand what the big fat ones are. You don't put those inside of you, do you? I mean, you do?
Yes.
This is a show about women.
Okay, so I just reapply my lip gloss after eating a delicious lunch. We are headed back now to European political systems class at Baruch College. Woo!
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. That's it. That's actually the name of the show. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world. It's like reality TV on the radio.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway, listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here today because my dad is a narcissist. I've been suspecting I might be one too. And having hurt some people I loved in my life recently, I've been really scared that I will only get worse as life goes on. The way I would describe my life now is depressing, dark, confusing, lonely. I've sort of had a generally lucky life, I would say, in terms of, you know, school being easy for me and getting straight A's and all of that, you know, valedictorian, and I had a good job and, you know, making decent money. And and so things are just smooth. My dad always told me, don't feel like you're inadequate.
It sounds like you never did feel inadequate in that way.
Never. When you also have the best grades, you're being hired out of college for to a six-figure salary, sort of combination of that becomes of, I am really good.
Right, I'm special.
Yeah, and so I know better than others in some ways.
Right, okay. Right?
So according to my dad, of course, I owe him for every little thing of my achievement.
Oh, okay.
Everything that's good, we owe to him. Everything that's bad is coming from somewhere else.
Okay.
My dad and I worked together. We argue a lot. The arguments became so unhealthy, right, over the little things. And I felt none of my ideas were meaningful to my dad. I said, Dad, I just don't think we work together well. He disowned me as a son.
He disowned you?
I clearly remember sitting on a couch and he said, you're no longer my son.
Oh.
I didn't know anything about narcissism at the time, but what I understood is that my dad can be extremely cruel.
Right.
On a dime.
You pushed back on what your father wanted. You
said first time?
No, first time ever. And he abandoned you, he rejected you.
I think he wanted me to feel very guilty.
He wanted to control you again.
That's when I started sort of seeing some signs of, how do I say, like the after effects of growing up in an environment. Like, it's hard for me to tolerate bureaucracy.
Okay.
It's hard for me to tolerate incompetence. I get hired to a corporation that has a big structure. I'm working for this Fortune 500 company.
Right.
I feel like a number. And to me, it's like, okay, this is stupid, this is wrong. And it's really, I'm very impatient.
Yes, everyone you encounter every day of your life was shaped by their parents. You've so far laid out entitlement, I'm special.
Yes.
Arrogance,
sure.
I'm better than this. And contempt, this is stupid. Like, I don't see the point in this, right?
Yeah.
So you're stacking up the logs here.
Oh, it's great, yes.
So,
I think at some point I got fired from five jobs in a row.
Why would you get fired?
Insubordination, wanting to do things my way only. One time I tried to get my boss fired.
All those jobs you were at, where you were insubordinating to people or mistreating them, you were hurting them. They went home. Some of them cried. Some of them couldn't sleep. Some of them couldn't function, couldn't pay attention to their kids because they were thinking about how you behave.
Possible.
Not possible. I would say definite.
And I never had a single thread of remorse about it.
Okay, so I had no remorse about the fact that I was ruining people's days with my conduct, and honestly, no empathy for how your conduct affected those people in those jobs.
It seems like he cares.
About what?
A little bit.
Well, it seems like he cares about his behavior.
Or maybe how he's being perceived.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you
he
go.
He cares about how he's being perceived.
He cares about how he's being perceived. Was he worrying about those people
no,
who were getting hurt at work?
No, he was worried about having to hear about how you were perceiving his actions.
Is it some of that insecurity coming out, though? Because even the way that you're describing it seems more of an anger and less of a sadness. When I looked at his eyes, he looked like he was about to cry.
Yes.
And
He was. I was there. He was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alex's life continued to unravel. And so here's more.
You know, I meet a person of, you know, love my life. and, you know, everything's going great. And then I think 3.5 years down the road, you know, she starts having conversations with me. She feels abandoned. She feels like I don't pay attention to her. We were considering marrying. We lived together for a long time. We got a dog together. And she was very caring. She's very empathetic.
You said she showed you a lot of empathy. Did you show her empathy?
Oh. I showed her love at the times when I was there. But the amount of times I was present was not a lot.
Right, so it sounds like you showed her love and it was convenient for you.
Damn.
Yes. I think that's the ugly truth of it.
So in essence, you were the one who got to eat all the time and she was starving to death.
Who?
There was a very specific moment where we went to bed and she was crying next to me.
Right.
And she cried herself to sleep and I was next to her,
feeling
horrible, absolutely terrified. I could feel the pain, but I had no clue what to do about it.
Aren't you terrified that this most beautiful thing in your world, you didn't know how to take care of it?
I'm absolutely terrified for two reasons. One, who am I going to hurt next? And two, how am I going to hurt myself next through that? Will I even survive that?
Did you not almost survive this one?
Correct. I lived in a high rise and I was at a point where I was on a balcony and I was thinking of, I'm going to jump.
Do you want to reconcile with her?
Oh my God.
Do you have contact with her?
She changed her number and email.
For someone to change their number and email after a breakup is not a good breakup. You may have hit what I call that proverbial narcissistic rock bottom, where nothing ended up working out. And I have to tell you, this is a very perilous space, and you've already walked one of those paths. You almost thought that this was over for you. In listening to you talk, what I've sort of observed, there is certainly a pull to seek out validation, to be recognized for what you've done. You want that. I've got to say, if I worked with you, the irony is, I'd be like, I don't trust this guy. I don't like this guy. But the overall feeling I was having for you is pity. I feel sad for you. I feel sorry for you. And that, to me, is dangerous. And I'll tell you why. Let's say I'm a woman who meets you. Mm-hmm. I might say like, okay, there's something really uncomfortable here. This person's quite egocentric. They're very arrogant, but I feel for him. And they're going to want to rescue you. Mm-hmm. And that, Alex, is the ultimate manipulation.
Ooh. Wow.
I was having a day.
Yeah, you were.
You really were.
It's just so hard to, because I see the pain in his eyes. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Like, I see that he's actually struggling. Mm-hmm.
But he's a rare one, because at least this is a narcissist at a rock bottom, because he has,
correct,
to me, a lot more self-awareness than what I've seen.
That's right.
And probably because he lived it.
He went through it with his father. Yeah. Yes, but usually many people who are narcissistic had narcissistic parents. Mm-hmm. That's not unusual.
That's very interesting. You can see that he's just disconnected in a way that he can't understand how to connect in a way.
Correct.
To
and
make
that kept
it work.
Going and going until it blew up for him. Do you have any other questions for me as we come to the end of this?
Do you feel there's hope?
You know, I actually feel that there's, I'm going to say there's conservative hope. And here's what I mean by that. I am not a big believer people change much from these patterns. I'm going to be frank with you. It's like literally climbing up a greased pole.
I agree with you.
It really, really is. You have to, every time you speak, every time you're with another person, you have to be mindful. You have to be aware. You have to be empathic, compassionate, respectful, reciprocal. Pay attention to how you're affecting them. Genuinely care about what they're going through. There can be no more of those sloppy days. Mm-hmm. There can't be the days where you are literally not paying attention to a partner who's crying next to you in bed. Do you really think you can do that?
Mm. Do I think I can?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
I've worked with people who've been where you are. And I have to tell you this. It's always been three steps up and two steps back. Three steps up, two steps back. They make progress, but it's slow. And there's a lot of frustration. And people as smart as you who get away with it don't do frustration well. Mm-hmm. And what it means though, Alex, it means that when the big, fat, grandiose opportunity is put in front of you and the beautiful woman who's empathic is there and you got these two things on either side of a field, only you know what the healthy man is gonna choose. And I can't predict that.
I do know now. The question is, will I choose it?
Will you choose it?
Oh.
That's interesting because for a minute there, I saw him slip back into his old pattern.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying is that under the stresses, the conditions, the day-to-day, probably at least once a day, he's going to slip back. And then it comes down to how much can he get it right the other times. Mm-hmm. So remember, the thing with narcissism is that they're not bad all the time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're good enough of the time to keep you hooked in.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard for folks.
I just keep going back to the crying next to him in the bed because, like, for me, that just seems like, wow. Like, if you couldn't even turn over and be like, hey, even if it's like, what are you crying about? Just a acknowledgement, like, at all.
Happens all the time.
What he needs to do now is the equivalent of changing a habit. And we know how hard it is to change habits.
Yeah.
The only example I can give here is somebody trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Every day, every meal, even when they're stressed, they can't turn back to sugar. You have to think every time you put something in your mouth, he's got to think every time something come out of his mouth, basically. He has a really, really tough journey ahead of him. But I do applaud him for being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
You know, I really, really do.
Yeah. We got to give him kudos.
And I do.
I'm sending him all the good vibes and in hopes that he will decide to take that journey.
I hope so too.
As always, Dr. Romani, it's so nice to have you here. It's always so freaking enlightening.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm like, you know, I've been studying narcissism. And every time you come in, it's like,
it's
amazing.
Yeah.
One more step. Yes. Well, I appreciate the questions you asked, too. So many people are struggling, and they don't have access to a therapist.
Yeah.
That's the big issue.
I love how straightforward you are. And, you know, even watching you in the conversation with him, it was just like, wow, like, she really knows what the hell she's talking about.
I appreciate that.
Oh, my goodness.
For our RTT fam out there, I hope this was helpful for you. It was helpful for us. If you have more questions, send them in, you know, and I hope all of you talk to each other in all the Red Table family circles that we have on Facebook, and we are sending you all just love and blessings.
Are we ever gonna bring Bandito?
Bandit is too wild
now. He's a lot, Gam. I don't think
he's not gonna just sit in there anymore.
Oh, the dog.
Yeah,
Bandit.
He's a little too chaotic for the brand.
How old is he?
He's only 9 months. He's still a puppy.
He's a baby,
he's still a puppy.
Bandit, I tried. I tried to help you.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/Red Table Talk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.